chapter 4 last week, but I want to just go through a quick overview of chapters 2, 3, and 4. And if you'll come with me, just start, like, we'll let our fingers do the walking through these chapters, because there are five distinct parts to chapters 2, 3, and 4. Distinct part number one is of course, the famous psukim at the beginning of chapter 2 that describes what is ultimately going to happen at the end of days. All of the nations are going to flow toward God. They're going to go to the Temple Mount. They're going to say, L'chu v'necho, let us go to the house of the God of Yaakov. No nation shall lift up sword against another nation. Nations will no longer learn how to do war. If you follow me from chapter 2, from Pasuk Aleph through Pasuk 5, 1 through 5 is the introduction which describes the ultimate spiritual significance of Yerushalayim, where a message will go out to the entire world. Beginning with Pasuk 6, is going to be a section that is going to talk about the conceit and the pride and the haughtiness of the Jewish people, either as a result of the fact that they have become wealthy, they've become comfortable, and this haughtiness and this pride is the beginning of all sin. In other words, they can do no wrong, they're no longer able to see what the truth really is. That's going to be from Pasuk 6 straight through to the end of chapter 2. The last Pasuk in chapter 2, Chilul Lachem en Ha'adam. Let go of man. What he means, let go of man, is you have begun to worship man. Who is the man that you worship? You worship yourselves. You feel that you have all of the intelligence and all of the intellect, and you know how to make the right decisions, and that everything can be solved and resolved by man himself. And through those psukim, it says that God is going to bring down the haughtiness and the pride of man, and he's going to let them know that not all wisdom and not all intelligence and not all intellect is there with man. Part three, beginning with chapter 3, that at least half the chapter is going to be dealing with the lack of leadership, the loss of leadership. Ki hineh ha'adon Hashem, the beginning of chapter 3. Ki hineh ha'adon Hashem tzvakot meisir Yerushalayim umi Yehuda. He's going to remove from Yerushalayim and Yehuda anyone to lean upon for support. And he lists all of the forms of leadership that are simply going to be absent from the city just when we need leadership most. We are left absolutely bereft of anyone who stands out above the crowd and is able to inspire. And we, of course, know what it means to be without a leader. Somebody, we need desperately somebody to lead, and somebody to inspire, and somebody to direct. And we don't have it, and that's what he's talking about in chapter 3, beginning with Pasuk Aleph, going until what becomes part 3. In other words, until Pasuk 15, and Pasuk 15 speaks of the leadership that is in Yerushalayim. Malochem tzadaku ami, why do you tread upon my people? Ufnei aniim titchonu, you grind the face of the poor. Niyom Hashem alekim tzakot. So chapter 3 is now going to be divided into two parts. Part 1 is a frontal attack by Yeshayahu on the leadership of Yerushalayim. And remember, never lose sight of the fact that he's standing there in the middle of Yerushalayim, and he's telling it to the people of Yerushalayim. It takes great courage and great determination on the part of Yeshayahu to stand up there and attack leadership. Leadership has never liked being attacked. leadership has always taken all sorts of steps by which they diminish or silence those who oppose them. And that's why you may recall from last year how in chapter 49 later, Yeshayahu feels that he's been an absolute failure. He's been attacked. He's been attacked by everybody. Attempts were made to silence him. In the final analysis, the fact is that he's going to be killed by Menashe because of his prophecy.
Did he actually stand in a public place and say all this, or did he write it first? Or we don't know.
It's a good question. I never thought of it. I always imagined, and there's good reason why I imagined it. I always imagined him being in some public forum where he says it. Why did I imagine this to be so? Because, well, let's take other prophecies. Jonah is supposed to come into the middle of the city of Nineveh and say, O dar boy Yom, the Nineveh ne'epachet, in another 40 days, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. Yirmiyahu, at least 20, 30 different places, it says Hashem tells him, go to Shar HaAshba and say the following. Go to the place where they make glass, and he's going to have to smash a glass bottle and then say the following words. Yirmiyahu speaks in front of the king himself, and it's clearly said there. And there's a Hananiah ben Azur stands up and challenges him. He speaks before the that are in the Beit HaMikdash, and he is challenged. So the picture throughout Yirmiyahu, it's clear that he's saying it publicly. In Yeshayahu, you don't. I can't think of one instance. Which one?
Chapter 6, verse 9.
That's in heaven, isn't it?
No, no, no. He says, go and say this to the people.
Oh, that's the first time.
That's the first time.
I take back everything I said, even though it was important. But there it is, the next chapter, chapter 6, which, as we pointed out, and we're going to have to discuss that again when we get to chapter 6, chapter 6 is really the beginning of the ministry of Yeshayahu. That's where he is appointed, and that's where he accepts the challenge. And Marshall's absolutely
right.
Vayomer leich v'amar, oh, you're dangerous, you're great. Vayomer leich v'amar tol ha'am hazeh, go and say to this people.
Chapter 7, verse 3, he says, go out to
the house. There, yes. There it says, there it goes to the pool, right outside the city, exactly where. There we know that he.
I'm asking you about this first section.
I take it back. I don't say I don't know. It's certain that he said it to the people in public forum.
They used to go in the marketplace.
Yeah, on the bottom of Ben Yehuda.
But did his students or his followers write down what he said?
That's for sure. The Gemara says that it was Chizkiah the Sayato that wrote the words of Yeshayahu. In other words, he had already written them, but they collected and put it into a sefer. Absolutely. Okay, so that there's the answer. Yes, he said it to the people. In chapter 3, from Pasuk 16 until the end of the chapter, is the Navi's holy tirade against the women of Yerushalayim, or the women of Yerushalayim and Yehuda. The way in which they conduct themselves, all the result of wealth, a loss of piety, lack of tzniut, and this is a destructive force within the society. It's at the end of chapter, the second half, beginning from Pasuk 2 in chapter 4, and by the way, here's another example. We've talked about this last time. We talked about it must have been a few years ago. Before I open up, you know, say the wrong thing. Does anybody have a Koren?
I know
what they
did.
My neshama tells me it, and it's correct. Chapter 4, the first pasuk, really is part of the end of chapter 3. Chapter 3 has been the chapter where he attacks leadership and he attacks the women of Yehuda of Yerushalayim. You see what bothered me as soon as I looked at it here? From pasuk 2 in chapter 4 comes the great prophecy of what will happen in time to come. That means like this. You know what's really happened over here? The three prophecies of the admonition are bracketed on both sides with prophecies of great glory and majesty. It begins with the great prophecy of Isaiah that there will no longer be war and all of the nations of the world are going to come to Jerusalem. The end of chapter 4 talks about the fact that God is going to be a sukkah, a covering and a protection for the Jewish people, mizerem u'mota, from rain and from wind, and in a sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is going to be there. So that we have the two sections, section 1 and section 5, are great messages of hope of what is going to come at the end of days. In the middle, there are three sections of admonition. Section 1 is where he speaks out against pride and conceit, which is a destructive force within society. The second section is where he admonishes the leadership and says that there is no leadership in Yerushalayim. And the third is where he speaks about the women of Yerushalayim. The last section begins in chapter 4, pasuk 2, Bayomahu, on that day, Yetzemach Hashem, the great day, just as we started at the beginning talking about the great day, he talks about the great day when, the unbelievable pasuk over there, Gimel, you have to learn it over and over again, Boho Yohan Nishar B'Tzion, the one who remains in Zion, V'Hanotar B'Yerushalayim, and those who are amongst the remnants of Yerushalayim, Kadosh Omer Lo, about him it will be said that he is holy. Kal Hakatov Lachayim B'Yerushalayim, whoever is written for life is living in Yerushalayim. The fact is that in chapter 4, Pasuk Aleph doesn't belong there. You know where it belongs? It belongs at the end of chapter 3. Because he's been talking about this, the women of Yerushalayim, and he's going to say it will reach a point that so many men are going to die in battle that v'hechazitu sheva noshim, seven women are going to plead with one man that he should marry them. In other words, this is the punishment that's going to come because of the haughtiness of the women of Yerushalayim. So why is it at the beginning of chapter 4? It should be the end of chapter 3. So all that I assumed without looking in the Tanakh, that the Hechaziku Sheva Noshim, according to the Masoretic text, according to the text of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, is really part of the parish before. Which is exactly what you see over there in your Tanakh. Do you see that after the new perek in the text begins in Bayom Hahu? Now, we've pointed this out in the past, and I'm only going to do it very briefly now, that the chapter divisions in Tanakh, the chapter divisions, are not of Jewish origin. The chapter divisions of Tanakh were instituted by the Catholic Church someplace in the 12th or the 13th century. And the reason why they divided the Tanakh into chapters is because there were the famous debates between Christians and Jews, and they wanted to be able to cite chapter and verse. But there was no chapter and verse from Sinai or from the Nevi'im. Everything was divided into parshiyot. What is a parsha? So there are two kinds of parshiyot. There's a parsha pitucha and a parsha stuma, an open parsha and a closed parsha. An open parsha means that there's going, that the rest of the line, at the end of the parsha, the rest of the line remains open, and the new pasuk starts, or the new parsha starts on the next line, or a parsha stuma that is closed, means in middle of a sentence, in the middle of a line, there will be a space in which you could write 9 letters. Those are the divisions of all Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, Parsha, Psucho, and Stuma. Here, I'll show you.
We have never...
I knew that question was going to come. I knew that I was going to say in advance.
Yeah.
Said it was a lot of work.
Yeah. Take a look. Do you see these spaces?
Yeah.
Or in a Chumash, you see a Hey or a Sama. This is a Parsha Stuma. In other words, there's a space in middle of the... There's a space in middle of the sentence. That's all you have it over there. Now, there are other places where the new paragraph... the new paragraph is going to begin on the next line. Those are the other divisions. So, all right. So here is another classic example of a chapter beginning that did not take into consideration our parashiyot, and there may have been good reason for it. You know what I think a good reason for it is? They didn't want a chapter, if possible, they didn't want a chapter to begin with the great message of Vayomahu. Let what will happen on that great day. Yes?
You said the space for 9 letters, why 9? Can you tell me why not?
That's the halacha. I imagine a space of 9 letters is a space that is recognizable. You know, so you could ask... Well, let it be 10, or let it be 8. So I would imagine that this is one of the things that falls into the classic category of halacha l'Moshe miSinai. This was a halacha to given at Moshe at Sinai. For example, that tefillin have to be square and have to be black. Why not chartreuse and green? Well, I don't know. So I had another answer. Let it be white. What? A kippah sruga pair of tefillin and a kippah shchora pair of tefillin. So this is halacha l'Moshe miSinai. That's clear. There's no question about it that it is so. I mean, I'm not making this up. We then cited the classic examples. The classic examples were the two great examples are the new parasha at the beginning of Bereshis, from the beginning of Bereshis until after Vayechulu. And the next parasha begins after Vayechulu. The chapter division, chapter 2 in Genesis, begins with Vayechulu HaShemayim. Because they didn't want Shabbos to come after Friday. They wanted a new chapter to begin with Shabbos because they made Shabbos Sunday. If it follows right after Friday, there's no way to get away from it. Shabbos must follow Friday. But if you start a new chapter, it's the beginning of the week. Or smack in the middle of nowhere, where there is no division whatsoever for us, they have chapter 3. Chapter 3 begins, the Hanochosh Hoyorum, the serpent was wiser or more cunning than all of the animals and beasts of the field. Why did they do that? Because the whole Catholic theology is based on original sin. Everything depends on original sin. Since there was original sin, and the only way that there can be salvation from original sin is by believing in Him, so therefore they highlight the Hanochosh Hoyorum. Over here, it's so obvious to anybody who's reading the Psukim that chapter 4, Pasuk 1 is clearly the end of chapter 3. It's so much an integral part of it. So why did they put it there? I think they wanted to hide the great idea of Vayomahu. Now, I just want to... Your question is, whenever I mention this, there's somebody who's going to ask this question, and that's fine. No, that's fine. The Koran Chumash, by the way, began years ago to institute a substitute chapter and verse division. It will most probably take to Moshiach until it will be accepted. But you have to understand the printing presses were in the hands of the of Goyim. Until we started taking over the great invention of the printing press, took a while. The first editions of Tanakh were printed not by Jews but by Goyim. and they put in their chapter divisions. And from there it went into any sefer that was written afterwards, used the same means of citing chapter and verse. For us to change the system now, we would have to reprint from the very beginning all of Shas, Bavli, and Yerushalmi, where all of these sightings are there, because on every page in the Gemara, when they bring a pasuk, so on the side of the Gemara, it will tell you exactly where it is. Where it is. It means a major overhaul, and I don't think we're just not ready for it.
I mean, it's not where we have our.
Listen.
You
have to face facts. The reality is that it hasn't been done. My only responsibility here is to tell you that it's not from Jewish sources at all. There are many other classic examples. Take a look here how it made its way into halachi. There's a halacha, one of the Achronim says that during the month of Elul, you're supposed to say all of Tehillim. I think it's a certain number of chapters. Three chapters a day. I don't know the exact halacha, but the end of the halacha is, because that there are 150 chapters, and we assume that there are 150 chapters in Tehillim. I think Kaper, how much is Kaper? Kaper is 20. That's 300. The word Kaper, atone, equals 300. A Chof is 20, a Pei is 80. 80 and 20 equals 100. Very good, it was very good. A Reish is 200. 100 and 200 equals 300. God, I got it done. Now, if you say all of Tehillim twice before Yom Kippur, 150 chapters in Tehillim, 2 times 150 equals 300. Very good. So you have said the number of chapters of Tehillim that equal kaper, atone, forgive. The only problem is that according to the Masorah, there aren't 150 chapters. There are 147 chapters in Tehillim. The division of 150 chapters in all of your Tehillim, you understand, is not really that Jewish. Now, do something about it. Now, usually, as I say, somebody asks this question, and somebody goes out on a major crusade that lasts for about a day, I think we have to use our energies for other things right now. Yes?
Papers of Yishayahu from Qumran prove what you just said, that the chapters were different? But they are free.
Sorry, I'm afraid you're asking me about the Dead Sea Scrolls. I really am not a Dead Sea Scroll scholar. I really don't know. But now, it's the one kind of thing, once you've asked the questions, so I'll take a look around the house and see if I have anything and what they say about Yishayahu. It's possible even that the Dat Mikra may have in the introduction something about the scrolls, but we'll see. It's just, the only reason why I say this now is because it just struck me between the eyes that this first pasuk of chapter 4 just doesn't belong there. That's why I wanted to check immediately, and I find that according to the Masorah, yes, it's part of, it's connected to the pasuk before. Yes?
How did they say chapter and verse?
Very good question. The question is, how did they cite chapter and verse before? You know how they cited chapter and verse before? Jews didn't have to, because every child from age 5, they started teaching him Tanakh, and by the time he was bar mitzvah, he knew Tanakh Baal Peh. He knew it from memory. Why do you think they did? The next thing that they did was, in order to make it manageable for them, they divided Shmuel into Shmuel Aleph and Bet. There is no Shmuel Aleph and Bet. There is no Divrei Hayamim Aleph and Bet. It's all one, but can you imagine trying to tell somebody about a pasuk in Shmuel if you don't know Shmuel Baal Peh from beginning to end? So how are you going to tell them where the pasuk is? By the way, it's an impossible job. How are you going to tell them where to look for the pasuk? But what happens if you're talking to people who knew Tanakh Baal Peh? So it's simple. You say the pasuk, and everybody knows where the pasuk is. But they didn't know Tanakh Baal Peh. Unfortunately, you know what really happened? This is the most troublesome thing. We're the ones that stopped knowing Tanakh Baal Peh, and they did start knowing Tanakh Baal Peh. You can meet up with a good number of Bible-toting Christians who will be able to quote for you Mamish chapter and verse and know exactly what they're talking about. Oh, there, I told you once a story of I'm in a cab in Johannesburg, and the cab driver tells me, wow, Deuteronomy 6:4, wow, Deuteronomy 6:4. And he sits up and there, you know, the grace of God. And I think I had, it was Mamish an inspiration that came directly min HaShemayim. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I think Pashat Rebbeinu Shem didn't want that Klal Yisrael should be embarrassed before in the presence of this cab driver. But they can quote chapter and verse. Quote chapter and verse. But you remember when we were in Hamilton, when was it last year? And I spoke before a Bible group in Hamilton, Ontario. They came with their Bibles. And why were they? They knew. Oh, that's right. That's when the pastor's wife asked me about Genesis 15. Remember that? And you were all scared. Does he know what Genesis 15 is? And then I think it was the Rebbeinu Shem, heaven struck again. And it, I said, yes, the covenant between the pieces. It was the Brisbane Hapsachim, chapter 15. Okay. But that was all Min HaShemayim. So that's all. Okay, that's the whole point that I wanted to make over here, because it's so blatant. It's so blatant and so clear that they have imposed themselves. They wanted to begin a chapter with this passage, which is clearly part of the chapter. Okay. The great chapter. Chapter 5. This is one... I think I say it often, but I write to you. I say it often, so what? One of the chapters that one, at least the first Sukkot, one should go over it and over it and learn it Baal Peh. Of Shidon Noli Yedidi, Shidat Dodil Chamo. Now that you have the sheets in front of you, begin with Of Shidon Noli Yedidi, because there's a big Rashi there, and we're going to have to learn that the Rashi on the first seven Psukim. The first seven Psukim. But first we're going to begin with the Psukim, and then chapter 5. Or Shidat Ali Yadidi, I will sing for my beloved or my friend. Shidat Dodi Mekarmo. A song. Or the word shirat, you know, song normally leaves us with the impression that this is, you know, something very joyous. It can also mean a poem. A poem. Shirat dodi l'charmo, a poem for my beloved l'charmo about his vineyard. He's not singing or speaking to the vineyard. The word le can mean to. The word le can mean about. And we will see that in Rashi. Kerem hoyoli yedidi, my friend had a vineyard, Bekeden ben Shaman. Keden ben Shaman. Well, there is a place called Ben Shaman. Yes, there is a place, you know, you see that. Keden ben Shaman means a corner or a little spot. A little spot that's ben Shaman. Ben Shaman means it's very fruitful or very rich. Very rich. Now, what did he do with his vineyard? Vaya'azkehu. Vaya'azkehu means that he made a fence around it. An azik is a ring. Vaya'azkehu. He made a fence around it to protect his vineyard. Vaya'saklehu. Vaya'saklehu means he removed the stones. I'm not going to go into it now, but it's one of the things that we've once discussed in the past, the fascinating idea that in Tanakh there are words that mean something, and its precise opposite in the same word, Vayisaklehu, is one of the classic examples. Vayisaklehu, when you give somebody skila, that means you throw stones on him. The same word that means to put stones also means Vayisaklehu, means to remove the stones. Lahashrish means to make something take root in the earth. Lisharesh means to uproot something. But we once talked about that. We're not going to talk about it now. So he made a... we gave a whole shiur on it. I don't even remember the whole shiur, but I remember where my notes are. That's the important thing. Because we gave many, many examples, and we also gave fascinating reasons for this phenomenon. Anyway, Vayaskehu made a fence around it, Vayisaklehu, and he removed the stones so that he should be able to plant. Vayitaehu Sorek, and he planted him Sorek. Sorek is a fine, very fine, precious vine, or a... who? Nachal Sorek, that's very good. It's the name of a brandy? All right, we'll see even what Rashi will say about it. But even Migdol B'tocho, and he built a tower in the middle of it. I imagine the tower is in order to watch over it, to guard it for the Shomer. V'gam Yekev Chotzeifo. In the Kedem, he dug a Yekev. A Yekev is where you press the grapes, and the wine goes, or the grape juice goes into the Yekev. I mean, Yekev is a word that you'll find on every bottle of wine. Vayikav. So now he had done everything that a vineyard needs, everything that it requires. Vayikav la'asot anavim, and he had hoped that it would make grapes. Vayaz ba'ushim, and what it made were ba'ushim. Ba'ushim are bad grapes that are unfit for eating. And he can't understand, but I did everything right. Why did this happen? Now, the inhabitants of Yerushalayim and people of Yehuda, shiftuna beinu bein tami. Now, by the way, here I think is a classic example of exactly what you asked before. He is speaking directly to them. How did I overlook this pasuk? He's telling them the story of the vineyard, and he's asking them, they don't know yet what the vineyard represents. So he's asking them, could you please judge between me and my kerem? You know what it sounds like to me? After the story of David and Bathsheba, Natan HaNavi comes to David, and he tells him the story about a city in which there's a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man has a wealth of cattle and sheep, and the poor man has one little shepsala. And guests come to the rich man, and he takes the shepsala that belongs to the chosh, the poor man, and he uses that. What do you think should happen? And David HaMelech cries out, Ben Maves, that man deserves death. And Natan HaNavi tells him, Atahayish, you're the one. You're the one, you have paskined on yourself. So here the Navi is indeed, is this what you would call an interface or an interactive Navi? Now, I have not yet learned the terminology of the end of the 20th century, but he is speaking to them. And he says, Shiftu no beinu bein kami, judge between me and my vineyard. Ma lasot od lekami v'lo asiti, but what else is there for me to do to my vineyard that I haven't done? Madu akiveti lasot anavim, why did I have this hope and this anticipation that it would make grapes? Vayaz ba'ushim, and it went ahead and it made that which is unfit to be eaten. V'ata odio no eschem et asher ani yoseh lekami, now I'm going to let you know what I'm going to do to my vineyard. Hoser misukato, I'm going to remove misukato, means the protection around it, the wall around it. Misukato always means a geder chaya. That's what they call it in modern Hebrew. The word gader is going to be used in a moment in the pasuk. Hoser wa, hoser misukato v'hayol v'air parotz gedero v'hayol mirmas. Rashi explains that a geder is a wall of stone. You make a stone wall around a field. A mesukah is geder chaya, hedges all around. So he says, you know what I'm going to do to my vineyard? I'm going to remove the hedges, and the animals will be able to come in and eat and destroy it. Parotz g'deirot, the word parotz means to, you know, a pirtzah, to breach, lifrotz, because a geder is made out of stone. V'hayolimirmas. And then it will be something that people will be able to go through. People and animals will be able to trample it. Where did you have a takeoff of this word earlier? Mirmas. In the first chapter. In the first chapter. Ki tavo leraot panai. Mi bikesh zot miyedchem remos chatzei roi. That's Pasuk 12 in chapter 1. When you come to see me, God says, who asked you? Who asked you to come and trample my courtyard? So here the owner, my friend, we only know Yeshayahu, we know the friend. We know Yeshayahu as a friend, and it's a poem about the friend's vineyard. So now he's telling the people of Yehuda of Yerushalayim, while listening, what my friend is going to do to his keder, remove the hedges and let it be destroyed. Levaer, of course, comes the word levaer al biur chametz, the removal of chametz, burn, destroy. Levaer is also used in Tanakh to mean when animals come and consume and eat what is in the field. Parotz g'deiro v'hayolim imas v'ashitehu bata. And I will make it desolate. I will make the kerem desolate. Lo yizomer, it will not be pruned. Velo yeyoder, and it will not be hoed, digging into the ground so that it should be more fruitful. Ve'ola shomir v'shayet. Most of the Mepharshim say shomir v'shayet are different kinds of thorns and thistles will grow up into this field. Rashi, we will see, says a different shot, but the overwhelmingly the Mepharshim say Shamir Vashayit are different kinds of thorns and thistles. Va'al he'ovim atzaveh. Ah, now I'm getting a feeling that people who are listening are getting the idea that the one who's talking over here is really God. Because now he says, "Va'al he'ovim atzaveh, I will command the clouds, mehamtir olav matar, from letting rain come down upon him." That's all. Destroy the vineyard. Now in Pasuk 7, now he comes and tells you the nimshal. We know the metaphor. Now we know what the metaphor stands for. Ki kerem Hashem tzvakot beit Yisrael. The house of Israel is the vineyard of the God of hosts. The Ish Yehuda and the people of Yehuda are neta sha'ashu'av, the plant of his joy. Vayikav lemishvat, he hoped that there would be justice in Yerushalayim. V'hinei mispach. And you know what goes on in Yerushalayim? Mispach means an ingathering of sin. L'tzedakah, the word vayikav goes on this. Vayikav, he hoped that there would be charity and justice. V'hinei tzedakah, and behold, there's the cry of the downtrodden and the ones who are being exploited. Of course, I'm sure that you've gotten the poetry and the rhyme over there. Vayikav lemishpat v'hinei mispach, litzdaka v'hinei tzaka. These seven psukim are the mashal and the nimshal, the shir and its interpretation. Beginning with Pasuk 8, already the Navi is going to become very specific. In what way is there a lack of charity in the city? How does the lack of mishpat express itself? We're going to save that, because what I want to go through is the Rashi, so that we understand the mashal better. Now, I usually say this, it looks formidable, it's not that formidable, but it's very beautiful. This is one of the places you have to learn Rashi. So let's start with the beginning of the Rashi. First, we're going to go through the Rashi. Oshino no li yedidi. Hanavi Omer, the prophet says, Oshino no li yedidi, tachat yedidi. The lamed before a word can have a variety of different meanings, and in this pasuk itself, it's going to have more than one meaning. Oshino no li yedidi means, you can't read it, I'm going to sing to my friend. Yeah, because in place of him, because it doesn't make any sense. I'm going to sing a song, or I'm going to say poetry to my friend about his kerem. No, I'm doing it for him. So the lamed of liyedidi means tachat yedidi. Ubimikomo, in his place, ubishlichuto as a messenger. Kamo, as it says, Hashem yilachem lachem. Right before Kriyat Yamsuf, it says, Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tacharishun. God will wage war for you, and you will remain silent. Wait a minute. If we're going to read it literally, Hashem yilachem lachem, God will wage war to you. Is he waging war with us, or is he waging war against the Mitzriyah? So the lamed of lachem means Hashem yilachem lachem for you, in your place. I'm going to do the battle, and you remain silent. I'm going to sing a song in place of my friend, for my friend, as a messenger of my friend, in loco, my friend. Bishvilchem. So Hashem Yilachem Lachem means that God will wage war bishvilchem for your sake. Shidat Dodi, Hizu, Asher Shor, Bishvil Tamo. The song of my friend, my beloved, this is the one that he sings, Bishvil Karmo. Lik Karmo means because of his vineyard, about his vineyard. Al Iske Karmo, about his vineyard. Kemo Vayishalu Anshe HaMakom Leishto. Vayitzchak, it says, Vayishalu Anshe HaMakom, Vayesh HaMakrivka, Vayishalu Anshe HaMakom. So how do we read it? How can we translate it? The people of the place asked to his wife? They weren't asking to his wife. They were asking about his wife. So the lamed means about. Shidat dodi l'charmo, about his vineyard. So Rashi has clarified for us the two lameds, and neither one of them means what lamed more usually might mean, lamed meaning to. You know? L. Ani no se ali Yerushalayim to Yerushalayim. Or, you know, I sing about Yerushalayim. I speak because of Yerushalayim. So the lamed has a variety of meanings, and two of them appear in this pasuk. My friend had a kid. Okay. Who's the VIP? Yeah. VIPs. There are no VIPs. Hinini meisir Yerushalayim masheinau masheinu masheina. No meishan lechem, no sar, no supanim, no zake. Shemen. Bezovit haoseh pedot shmanim kishenetov. A corner of a piece of land that makes fruit that's very fat and lush, like good oil. Ben shemen, zovit, ro'i l'shemen, l'zeitim, l'asot shemen. Ben shemen, so Rashi is saying, the Keren Ben Shaman, another pshat that Rashi is saying in Ben Shaman, it's the kind of land that if you would have olives growing there, those olives would provide oil for lighting. In other words, the word Ben. Ra'ui. Ben Shaman means ro'ui, it is a place that would make very good oil if you would be planting olives there. Ro'ui l'mavet v'dugma hizu. Rashi says all of this is a metaphor. U'besof ha'inyon yifarshena, and at the end we will explain exactly what it means when we're going to substitute for friend God for kerem, the Jewish people, everything we will substitute, and we will explain what the mashal is. Vayazkeu. Vayazkeu means sigo. Vigodro saviv. Sigo means he made a wall about it. What Asu Siyog LaTorah. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah said three things. One of them was Asu Siyog LaTorah, make a wall around Torah. Vaya Askeu means Siyog. He made a wall around it. Vigodro, a fence. Savir, Mukaf, all around it. Kimin Tabat, like a ring. The Metargaminon, Izka. A ring in Aramaic is Izka. Vaya Askeu means that he made a ring around it to protect it. Vayasakleu, Hotzi Avonim Itocho, Abraham Likifanim, he took out the stones that are there because they're bad for vines. Kamo Saklu Me Evan, Pasuk later that says Saklu Me Evan, that Pasuk is talking about God making a road for the Jewish people to return to Eretz Yisrael and to remove all of the obstacles. Saklu Me Evan, remove all of the stones. Vayitaeu Sodek, and he planted it Sodek. What are Sodek? Hein Zmorot, vines. Hayafot l'nitiyah, that are good for planting. Mishar Zmorot, better than all other vines. Or Zmorot is what's the professional word, you know, for something that you buy in order to, you know, a Zmorot, what? Oh, not a cluster, no. An eshkol is a cluster. In other words, a sort of a plant that, you know, you've already prepared the plant, huh? A sapling. Sapling. I like the word sapling.
Huh?
A seedling is a plant and a sapling is a tree. And a vine is somewhere between the two.
There's another word I can't think of.
There is another, yeah. All right, we'll come up with it. It's something in that family. Vayiven Migdol B'tocho, he built a tower in the middle. Gat La'atzor Anavim. A gat is a press. La'atzor Anavim, to press the grapes. V'gam Yekev Chatzav Vo. He also dug a habor shelifnei hagat l'kavel ayanim. From the press, it goes into the Yekev. That's the bor, the pit that's in front of the press, the kabel ayayin, to receive the wine. B'chein kol yekev shebimikra, wherever you have the word yekev, in Tanakh, lashon borhu, a pit. B'chein v'ad yikveh hamelech, the pits of the king. Targum Yonatan, Yonatan said, ad shichia demalka, the very depths of the king, who omek ukyonus, the very, that's talking about the depths of the sea, the Okeanos is the ocean, the Atlantic, or the Pacific. That's why, since it is a bore, it's a pit, you don't just dig a pit. In Hebrew, you are chotzev a pit. Oh, what do we call a place where they make Jerusalem stone, or they... but I want the Hebrew word. Machtseva. Machtseva comes from the word chotzev, because when you dig a pit or dig stones and earth out of the ground, you are chotzev. And in Dvarim over there, it describes the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're going to come to a land where there are already borot, there are pits that are already chatzuvim. You didn't have to do a thing. Everything is going to be ready for you. So now here, my friend did everything he could to make certain that the vineyard is going to produce beautiful grapes. Vayikav la'asot amavim. Vayikav yedidi la'asot la'akerem azel amavim. Now you see here, Rashi has to put in sort of, there's something missing that is understood. Vayikav, he hoped that his vineyard would make anavim. That's what he hoped. And Rashi very often will, words that are understood in the pasuk, Rashi is going to put it in. Vayikav doesn't mean like he hoped to make. He didn't hope to make grapes. He doesn't make grapes. I don't make grapes. You know who makes grapes? My vines make grapes. So when it says Vayikav la'asot anavim, he hoped to make grapes, it means that he hoped that his vineyard would make grapes. Vayaz be'ushim, it made be'ushim. What are be'ushim? Domim la'anavim, they look like grapes. They may feel like grapes, but they're not grapes. So you know what I'm going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Hoser Mesukato. I'm going to remove the wall. Lasir Geder HaMesukheich U'megin Alav. Mesukato, imagine it being written not with a sin, but with a samach. So you would have immediately, you'd see the word Sukkah before you. Just as you saw the last pasuk in chapter 4, the Sukkah, Tihiyel Tzel Yoram, Hoser Mesukato. Sukkah doesn't only mean that which is above, but anything that is soche and protects. Hoser Mesukah, Lahasir Geder HaMesokhechu Megin Alav, to remove the wall that hovers over and protects it. Mesukach Hu Siyog Kotzim. This is what we said. Mesukach means a geder that is made out of kotzim, out of thorns, or as we said, geder chaya, hedges. Vayar kerem, the kerem will be levoer, sheyidhu bo behemot v'chayo, that animals and beasts will come and eat there. Mashiteyu batar, says, I'm going to make it batar. What does the word batar mean? L'shon shimama v'reikonit, desolate and empty. V'chein, b'nachalei ha-batot, we're going to have that later, where there are going to be valleys, just empty. V'lo ye'oder, it will not be hold. The word ye'oder, Rashi says, l'shon chafirat keremu, digging in a vineyard. V'olah shomer v'shayit. And what will come up instead of grapes will be shomer v'shayit. So Rashi brings at first the pshat that everybody says. Minei kotzim, different kinds of thorns. Patar behem Menachem ben Sirok. Menachem ben Sirok, the great linguist before the time of Rashi, this is the way he explained the word. Vani omer, Rashi says, I say, and as I said before, different than all of them, Farshim. Shomer Lishon Tola'at Chazak, a strong and a powerful worm. There's the famous statement of Chazal that Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Bet HaMikdash, you were not permitted to put metal upon the stones in order to cut and hew them. So they made a line in ink, and there was a mighty and a powerful worm that walked along the line and split the stones. The Shamir. It was called the Shamir. So Rashi says on Yomer that the word Shamir is Toloshin Tola'at Chazak, a strong worm. Hamibakeya Avanim Shebo Bono Shlomo Ebet Hamikdash. It splits stones. And with this, Shlomo built the Bet HaMikdash, as it says, Keshomir Chazak Mitzor. Mitzor, a Shomir that is stronger than rock. Ma'oz Tzur Yeshuati. God is, well, we have to get into the spirit of Hanukkah. Tzur is mighty, and the Shamir is stronger than that which is mighty. Tzur Yisrael v'goalo. Tzur Yisrael v'goalo. The might of Israel v'goalo. Shit, l'shon hasheit v'hasheva. Shit means hasheit v'hasheva, that which is empty and destroyed. L'shon tishoeh shemama, desolate. Tzodu me ein dodesh likonez bo. It is empty without anybody wanting to go in. U'mitoch kach tala botolat. The area is going to be empty. Nobody's going to want to go there. And since nobody's going to go there, nature abhors a vacuum, and what's going to begin to grow there are all sorts of worms. Ki kerem Hashem tzvakot beit Yisrael. Now in Pasuk Zion, the last Pasuk of the Marshal, he tells us the Nimshal. Ki kerem Hashem tzvakot beit Yisrael, because the vineyard of God is the house of Israel and the people of Yehuda. La kerem azeh atem mishulim, you people who are listening to me, you are compared to a vineyard. Beit Yisrael, ki kol ma she'osa la'kerem hazeh osa li'Yisrael. Whatever my friend in the Moshul did for his vineyard, Hashem did for the Jewish people. Va'kerem, now here he's going to explain, and this is really why we're learning the Rashi. Va'kerem hu Adam HaRishon, the vineyard is Adam HaRishon, first man. Ki motzinu b'medrash ha'godah b'mekomot ha'arbe, we find in Medrash ha'godah in many places, b'mikrot halalu, that these psukim here in Yeshayahu nidroshin alav teach us about Adam HaRishon, first man. Lo nidrad Adam HaRishon ad shechidei v'gidei. Chazal, our rabbi, saying the Medrash, Adam HaRishon was not cast out of Gan Eden until he blasphemed and cursed. Shenema v'yekav la'asot anavim v'gaz v'nishim. Now that the moshel is, I created man, and I prepared everything that's necessary. Whatever, all his needs are taken care of. Everything is provided for him in the world. So, did I have the right to expect that he would be good, that he would be pious, that he would be moral? I have the right to expect that. And then I was terribly disappointed. I was disappointed by Adam HaRishon. So therefore, the Medrash says, Vayikav, God had hoped la'asot anavim, that something very beautiful would come from Adam HaRishon, and he was disappointed. Malcolm Acham Metzin Rashi says in another medrash we find Hoshiv Olav Shomdin Shelo Yochu Me Eitz Achayim. After he ate from the Eitz Hadat, so God became concerned. Once he's eaten from the Eitz Hadat, the tree of knowledge is going to go eat from the Eitz Achayim. So he placed guards so that he should not eat from the Eitz Achayim. Shenemar. So the medrash cites as a quotation. How do we know that God placed guardians that he should not eat from the Eitz Achayim? Va'al he'ovim atzaveh. I will command the clouds that they should not bring down rain. And this is a metaphor for the idea of I'm not going to let him get close to it. V'chein nidrashnu alav. And this is the way we're going to explain this whole mashal. And now he begins. This section of Rashi is now going to go over the entire mashal, and he's going to tell us exactly what it means in terms of Adam HaRishon, and then what is its message to Ish Yehuda v'Yoshev Yerushalayim in the days of Yeshayahu. Kerem, the Adam HaRishon, that's first man. Liyadidi, who's my friend? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ben Shomen, where was Adam HaRishon Kerem planted? In the most luscious place in the world, Gan Eden. Vayazkehu, God protected him, surrounded him. Be'eser chupot ha'amurot, the parashat Chidom Melech Tzorin Yecheskel talks about 10 different coverings, all sorts of drapes and that are a source of protection. I did the best for him. Vayisakleu mi'etzer hara. I had really removed from him the stones. The stones of the Yetzer Hara, I had removed it from him until he went ahead and he ate. Ad she'ochal min ha'etz, until he ate from the tree. V'nichnas bo Yetzer Hara, and in came the Yetzer Hara. V'yito'eu sorek, t'chilat yitzirat tov min ha'kol ha'mezbeach. We had mentioned this yesterday in Shir. I planted him sorek, the finest. I used the finest earth from which to make him. I took the earth from the mezbeach on Har HaBayit, by even Migdol B'tocho. I made a tower within him. What's the tower? By Yipak Ba'ap of Nishmat Chaim. God breathed into his nose, into his nostrils, the breath of life. Min Hoy Elyonim, that came from above. The Gam Yekev Chotzav Bo. He also dug a pit. A pit represents the idea of flowing waters. The flowing waters, Ma'ayon Noveya Mekor Kochma, a stream that flows with the sources of wisdom. Vayikav la'asot anavim, I thought that it would make grapes, meaning I thought that he would appreciate. Sheyot avishaber l'fonav, that he will thank and praise God. Vayaz ba'ushim, and do you know what I get in return from this Adam HaRishon that I took such good care of? She dvarim liv'oshim, he said, bad things. Chidei v'gidei. He rejected God. Shiftuna. So now he says, Yoshvei Yehudah v'Yerushalayim, you judge. Lefisha sof ha'moshel bar lomar. Yeah, right. Since the end of the moshel is going to be to say that you're just like him, you're making the same mistake. So he wants them to be the ones who will
judge.
Shiftuna. Lefisha sof ha'moshel bar lomar. The end of the moshel comes to say, Shafhei moshel kamoto. They did the same thing. Shoel lehem ha'mishpat. So he asked them judgment. I'm going to let you know, I'm going to tell you what it seems right for me to do, and I'm going to do it. I removed him. I cast him out from the areas that, the places where he was protected. While he originally was created with eternal life, there's an end. So follow with the end as he will die. The limshol bo chayot rot and the evil beasts will rule over him. Perotz gedero, breach through the wall. Tervadetiv mitzav Gan Eden. I cast them out from the walls around Gan Eden. Bashiteu basa, soto hoshavtiv. I left him desolate. In what way did I leave Adam Arishan desolate? Shelonatati Torah b'yamav. I didn't give Torah in the days of Adam. Adam remains desolate from any kind of true spirituality. Lo yisomer v'lo yeyadeh. Won't be pruned and won't be hoed. Lo yilmedu imenu lo schud v'lo ma'aseh tov. People will not learn from Adam Arishan neither merit nor good deeds. And you know what's going to grow in him? Thorns and thistles. Shalat bo yetzer hara. The yetzer hara ruled over him. Ubedorotav achrav. And in the generations afterwards, la'asot ma'asim nikul kalim. What's going to happen? What does the Mishnah Navos say? 10 generations from Adam until Noah, and each one was worse than the other. And then 10 generations from Noah till Avram, and each one was worse than the other until Avram appeared on the face of the earth. Val ha'avim tziveti atzaveh. And, to the clouds I have commanded, Tziviti olav shalmin lishmar derech Eitz HaChaim. I have commanded those who are going to watch the way that leads to the Eitz HaChaim. Now we have to go through this, just, you know, hang on to your seats. I want to finish it. Ki kerem Hashem tzakot beit Yisrael. The vineyard of God is the house of Israel. Ki v'yoto ha-kerem, it really should be, ki ka'oto ha-kerem li beit Yisrael. The house of Israel is to me like that vineyard. Aseret hashvatim heim hayuli kikerem yayin, kikerem zayit, kikerem shemen, beret shmeno. The 10 tribes were like a vineyard of wine or an orchard of olive trees in a very luscious piece of land. Shemen kuhuna. Look what I gave the Jewish people. I gave them the oil of kuhuna, the priesthood, shemen malchus, the oil of kingdom, shemen menorah. We're really getting into Hanukkah now. Shemen menorah. Shemen menachos, the shemen for the sacrifices that are brought to the Beit HaMikdash. Azaktim tchila. I surrounded them at the beginning. Behekeif amamei hakavod bamitra. There were the clouds of glory that they had in the desert. Usekaltim v'nikitim miposhei hador. And I took out the impurities. I removed the stones, the sinners, you know, the meraglim, I removed them, and I planted them sorek. The Rashi says, what does sorek mean? The gematria of sorek is 606. A shin is, let's do our math. A shin, a resh, and a kuf. A shin is 300, a resh is 200, and a kuf is 100. 300, 200, and 100 equals 600. And then there's a vav. So that's 606. So he says, I planted him sorek, sheish meyot v'sheish mitzvot. I gave him 606 mitzvot. Kiminyan sorek. Hosafti aleim. I gave them in addition to the sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach. So 606 and 7 equals 613. Al sheva mitzvot, over and above the 7 mitzvot shenitzvot b'nei Noach that the children of Noach commanded. Boniti migdal b'tocho. What did I build in the midst of this vineyard? I built a tower. What tower? That's the Mishkan. And the Mishkani u'migdashi. V'gam yekev ha-mizbeach v'ashitin. I also, the yekev is the mizbeach. And beneath the mizbeach, the Gemara says there were shitin, holes that went down to the very ends of the earth. I did everything. V'yaz biyushim. I had hoped that there would be graves that he made biyushim. Kilkulu maseim. They ruined their deeds. The Atah, now Yoshen Yerushalayim, the Ishuda, Ashalowikli them. He says, that was the 10 tribes, and I sent them into exile already. Now, what am I going to do with you, Ish Yehuda, the Yoshe Yerushalayim? Ashalowik later that I have not sent into exile. Yishbetuna beini ubeineyem. You be the judge between me and the ten tribes. Al hara shehebeiti aleim, about the evil that I brought about upon them. There are a number of prakim like this in Tanakh. And I have a feeling, I have this feeling that when the Rebbein Shem brings suffering upon the Jewish people, what troubles him more than anything else is he pleads to be understood. He wants Yoshvei Yerushalayim and Yehuda, please understand me. I know I did terrible things to them. I sent them off into exile. Terrible suffering. But take a look. Look what I did for them. And look how they repaid me. Mi sorach al mi. Who rebelled against whom? Ma hoyoli lasot o tovo lekamika. Do you hear? I mean, maybe I'm reading it this way because I understand it this way. In a sense, there's a pleading. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pleading to be understood. Ma li lasot o tovo lekamika. What else is there that I can do for my vineyard? Velo asiti lo, that I didn't do. O dear na etchem. So I want to let you know, gam atem hamachizumoti, also you who anger me, et asher hogun beinai lasot, I want you to know what's right in my eyes to do, lekar me to my vineyard, kechol asher asiti l'odav arishon, everything that I did to Odav arishon. I cast him out of the Gan Eden, I will cast you out of Eretz Yisrael. Haser mesukato asalik shimati me'aleim, I will remove my divine presence from them. Hamesochechet aleim, my divine presence that protects like schach above them, kemashenema, as it says later, by Yogel et Mesech Masach Yehuda, he removed that which covers Yehuda. Parotz gedeido et totz chomotam, I will shatter his walls. Vashiteu basa, vashivinun retishin, I will make them retishin. Anybody know what retishin means? Now, maybe it's too much to expect. There's a Rashi in Chumash where he refers to the area of Hebron as an area of Terashim. The Tet and the Reish are sort of interchange. It means rocky land, the kind of land that it's very, very difficult to plant in. Isn't that really what happened? Huh?
It's with the Meraglim.
I think it's there by the Meraglim. The Rashi is right there in Parashat Shlach.
Okay, yeah.
That's Russia. So Bota means I'm going to, and that's what Eretz Yisrael turned into. I mean, it's an extremely rocky land. You can go through who knows how many wide swaths of land in the United States and in Europe, and it's all soft, luscious land. And over here, it's Tadishin or Ritishin. Lo Yizomev, lo Yedah, lo Istadun, lo Yistankun, it won't be pruned, and it won't be hoed. Lo yistarun, lo yistankun. I have a feeling that it means that there will be nobody to depend on, and nobody to support them. Vo'olo shomer v'shayet v'yiyu metaltlin u'shivikin. They will be wandering and moving. Dugmat shomer v'shayet shel kerem. Just like the shomer and the shayet of a kerem. Ve'etzal ha'kerem mamish b'makom achar u'meturgam hovoi u'bor. The Targum says hovoi u'bor means empty, and bor a sota. That's bor is a field that is simply lies fallow. Va'al ha'avim atzaveh, and all of this Rashi is taking from Targum Yonatan. Va'al ha'avim atzaveh, I will command the clouds, va'al neviyayo afkid, I will command the prophets, delo yit nabun aleyen, that they shall not say prophecy to them. The prophets are, in a sense, the clouds that bring down the rain. The neviim are the ones that bring down the word of God, and they're the ones who give direction, and I'm going to tell them not to say prophecy. Ha nevuah nimshal olamata, nevuah is compared to rain. Sheha'ovim mikablin otam min hashamayim, the clouds receive the water from heaven and then they send it down to earth. The Navi receives the message from heaven and he brings the message down to earth. Kach Hanavim, so through the Nevi'im, Mekablin HaNevu'ah Mipi HaKadusha, they receive the Nevu'ah from the Holy Mouth. Natasha Shuav Kamon Neta Ulefishu Dabak. Okay, that's it. I think that's it. That's it, we did it. We did it. This is the Shita. But what's going to be most fascinating, I think, is how Yeshayahu is going to translate this into everyday. What are you talking about? What do you want from us? What have we done wrong? That's going to be extremely, extremely interesting. Okay.